In fact, for the very first time, I think, in about 50 years of our local body, El Paso Bible Church is meeting virtually, online only, by virtue of this recording. While the Texas governor has made it a mandate now, pretty much, the elders of El Paso Bible Church made the decision to alter this facet of our worship service before then. We just considered that to be wise. We believe it's the prudent thing to do based on what we know, and we know that we don't know everything. That's kind of the point. But as prudent as we can be, we've decided to make this our alternative for worshiping today. Now, before we go any further, I'd like to mention we knew that we were going to get criticized no matter what decision we made. That's okay. That's the nature of this thing. But this is what we've decided to do, and we're going to continue to do it as long as we need to. But I'd like to mention that though this is a unique event in the life of our church in these 50 years as a local body, there's some things that are not unique, that are not unique to any Sunday or to any day in which we gather together either through the internet or in person to worship the one true God and His Son, Jesus Christ. We are in our various locations doing our best not to get sick. There are things that do not change. And that's what we're going to talk about today, what God's Word says in the midst of even a pandemic like the coronavirus. I will admit to you that you will likely know all of the things that I'm going to tell you to do today, and you may even roll your eyes, though I won't be able to tell in this environment. But we need to hear them again. I need to hear them again. I need to be able to preach this to myself as well as to you. You need to be able to preach it to yourself and to others. You need to be able to proclaim these truths over and over as needed. The first of those is that God is absolutely in control at this moment. We like to say that God is sovereign. That means that He's in charge, that He has the right to rule, to make decisions, to direct everything that is going on in the world. And we need to hear that again. We need not anthropomorphize God and make some assumption that perhaps He's out at Sam's Club, hustling to pick up the last roll of TP, or the hand sanitizer, or gas, or groceries. Because He's in charge. He's not surprised by these events. Psalm 22:28 says, "For the kingdom is Yahweh's, and He rules over the nations." There is no doubt about that. That whatever is going on in this world, no matter what you see or hear or understand, a government to be doing or not doing, a nation to be doing or not doing in your life and for your benefit or to your detriment, God is sovereign and powerful and perfectly in control over the events in this world. Ephesians 1:11 says this again. According to His purpose, He works all things after the counsel of His will. Well, the way Dr. McGee used to say it, this is God's universe, and He does things His way. You may have a better way, but you do not have a universe. We say that at various junctures throughout our experience as El Paso Bible Church. He does things His way. He's in charge. He asks for no advice. He seeks after His own counsel and His works. He's in control. He's sovereign. He's in charge. And the God that is in control of all things tells you and me not to worry. He says, do not worry. In fact, a very familiar verse explicitly says that and not much else. Philippians 4:6 says, be anxious for nothing, but in everything give thanks. Be anxious for nothing. Nothing. Not gas, not groceries, not TP, not hand sanitizer, not vitamin C. Not viruses, not ever-expanding government, none of it, none of the dangerous things out there. Be anxious for nothing, but in everything give thanks. Luke 12 has Jesus talking to His disciples. Luke 12, verses 22 to 26 says this, and He said to His disciples, for this reason I say to you, do not worry about your life as to what you will eat, nor for your body as to what you will put on. For life is more than food, and the body more than clothing. Consider the ravens, for they neither sow nor reap. They have no storeroom nor barn, and yet God feeds them. How much more valuable you are than the birds. And which of you, by worrying, can add a single hour to his lifespan? If then you cannot do even a very little thing, why do you worry about other matters? Notice that in Jesus' opinion, adding an amount to your lifespan is a very little thing. He says, don't worry. God is in control. I am in control, he says. He wants you not to worry because he loves you, one. He wants you not to worry because he loves you, first. And second, he knows that it doesn't do one lick of good for anybody. More than not just adding an hour to your life, it won't add a single second to your life by worrying. Now please note, he does not say that you cannot add an hour to your life. In other words, this is not a wholesale excuse to go out and be stupid. To go out and not wash your hands. To go out and not use hand sanitizer. To go out among 10,000 sneezing, coughing people. And failing to sanitize surfaces because you could die from that. You can take the hours away and you could add hours by making wise decisions. But Jesus says worrying does not add a single amount of time to your life. Never. For any of his disciples or for anybody else. It's not an excuse to be reckless. But it is an excuse to focus on other things that we can change. God is in control. And the God who is in control says, do not worry. He's got this. That's comforting to me. That's encouraging to me. I have to preach that to myself, proclaim it to myself as I do the next best wise things for my family and for this church. The next thing is going to take some qualification. Those are encouraging things. The next thing I'm going to say to you may not sound encouraging right off, and that is that the world is ending. Yes, Pastor Josh said this. The world is ending. You can put it on a bumper sticker. You can put it on your website. You can quote me on Facebook. The world is ending. And I know that some of you are thinking, Pastor, I thought you were trying to encourage us. What is this world is ending business? I'm encouraging you. Trust me. Give me a second. See, because people are worried that this is what we used to call, and maybe some people still call, Teotwaki, the end of the world as we know it. The end of our experience, the end of civilization, the end of the world as we know. People are acting that way. The only thing they're going to end up with is very clean rear ends, the way they're buying things. This is not Teotwaki. This is not the end of the world as we know it. A virus isn't going to bring that. So don't you respond that way. But that doesn't change the fact that the world is ending. It was ending before this virus. It was ending before any of the other viruses that have plagued the earth in this century. Before the Spanish flu pandemic of 1918, before the Black Plague, before that, before the plagues in Egypt, you get the idea. The world is ending. And it will still be ending after this virus fails to end. Scripture is very clear on that point. The world is passing away. It's ending. It's ending because Jesus has overcome it, not because a virus broke out in China. Jesus said that. John 16:33, he said, these things I have spoken to you, so that in me you may have peace. Sorry, this is an interjection here. I have to clarify because nobody's standing in front of me here. You can have peace. The world is ending. You can have peace. These things I have spoken to you so that in me you may have peace. In the world you have tribulations. That's a fact. In the world, you're going to have troubles. But have peace. And then he goes on. But take courage. I have overcome the world. I have overcome the world. So you can have peace. You can take courage. John tells us that in 1 John 2:17, the world is passing away and also its lusts. But the one who does the will of God lives forever. Has eternal life in Jesus Christ, in whom you can have peace, in whom you can take courage. Yes, the world is ending. But God is in control. He wants you not to worry. Jesus wants you to have peace and to take courage because the world is ending, because it's passing away, because he's overcome it. In the world, we have trouble. When it passes away, we will no longer have trouble. Jesus has overcome the world. It's passing away. But the one who does the will of God lives forever. Now, the good thing about that is, because I think you're still maybe not convinced that the world is ending, is a good thing. I understand that. The world is passing away because Jesus has overcome it. The good news is that you and I know that. And if we know that the world is passing away, we can also use that information to focus on the things that don't. We can focus on the things that endure. What are those things? You could probably name some out of Scripture. Luke 21:33 is Jesus speaking again. He says that heaven and earth will pass away. The world is ending, folks. Heaven and earth will pass away, but my word endures forever. That's what Jesus said. What he means by that is that you can take his promises to the bank because everything else is going to pass away, but not his words. All of his promises endure. And there are many. But chief among them at this time, I would remind you of the one in Romans 8:28. Many of you are familiar with that verse. It says, "And we know that God causes all things to work together for good to those who love God." And we know that God causes all things to work together for good to those who love God. Romans 8:28. Love in Scripture is defined as obedience. What Paul is saying here is that God has good in store for those who love him by obeying him. That's what loving God is. We've talked about many times at El Paso Bible Church. For those of you who have not tuned in all the other times that we've mentioned this, love is not a synonym for trust. Trust is not a synonym for love. Faith is not a synonym for love. Love is not a synonym for faith. Love is obedience to God's command. And love enables us to experience the fullness of the goodness of his plan and purpose in our life if we are simply obedient. One of my mom's favorite hymns as I was growing up, one of the few things that she could play on the piano, was a hymn called Trust and Obey. It very simply described the process of abiding in Christ, of the results of faith in our life. We receive eternal life, we rest in who we are in Jesus Christ, and we love God and experience the fullness of the goodness of his plan by obeying his commands. We trust and we obey. I knew the song backwards and forwards before I ever learned to appreciate it, how biblical it was. God's words endures, his promise endures, his goodness endures to those who love him. But what else? What else endure? Paul tells us in 1 Corinthians 13:13 about some things that endure. 1 Corinthians 13:13 says this, But now faith, hope, love abide these three. But the greatest of these is love. Now I know that we're not at a wedding, and many of you probably have never heard that verse outside of a wedding. It has nothing to do with weddings, actually. It has to do with the things that endure, the gifts that God has given that endure. It says they abide. They remain. They do not pass away. Even though the world passes away, these things do not pass. They abide. But have you ever thought about how? At all of the weddings you've been to where they use this as part of the scripture reading, have you ever thought what it means for faith, hope, and love to remain, to abide? Because we know, Scripture talks about the difference between faith and sight. 2 Corinthians 5:7 says that. It says, we live by faith and not by sight. It says, if it's faith, it's not sight. If it's sight, it's not faith. But the very nature of our faith is a confidence that one day faith will be fulfilled. The things that we're trusting in God for come to be our possession and our experience of His goodness. What we trust in now, we are trusting in God to bring to fruition, to fulfill in our lives. They will no longer be by faith. They will be by experience. They will be by sight. They will be things that we hold in our hands and in our person. The same thing for hope. Biblically defined. If the thing that we're hoping for is never realized in our life, then our hope is not really hope. It's just a wish. And so when we talk about hope in the biblical sense and the hope that Paul says abides and remains, how does that work? We might sort of understand maybe how love could abide. But these other two, well, to clarify, I think Paul is talking about the product of these things. He is not saying that you are always going to have unfulfilled faith or unfulfilled hope in your life, that faith and hope abide and are never fulfilled. He's saying that the things that you receive in your life by faith, by hope, by love, abide. Though the world is passing away. These are the words of God. Remember, they don't pass away. The world ends, but God's word doesn't. The world is passing away because Jesus has overcome it. So what can you do? What can you do with those things in mind? Well, you probably need to remember, maybe even speak it to yourself more regularly than we often are wont to do. Don't worry about people thinking you're weird because you're talking to yourself. You're social distancing, right? They're never going to know. Say it to yourself out loud. Say it to yourself in the mirror. Say it to yourself in the shower, wherever you are. God has got this. God is in control. Say that 100 times a day if you need to. God is in control. And He loves me. And He told me not to worry. God is in control. God says, don't worry. He said, don't be anxious for anything. Don't be anxious for anything, but in everything give thanks. He said, worry doesn't do anything for you. Recognize that the world is passing away. Not because of a virus, but because Jesus has overcome it. And focus on the things that last rather than the things that are passing away. God's Word, your life, the thing that you receive by faith in Jesus Christ, your eternal life, a life that He's given you the opportunity to live here faithfully, live faithfully, hopefully, and lovingly. Look out for the interests of others. To the best of your ability. Because while the world is passing away, the product of faith, hope, and love abide. God is in fact in control, and we should not worry. The world is passing away, but His word does not. Let's pray. Father, we do thank You for these promises. We thank You for Your word, from whence it comes. We thank You for Your Spirit that is in us, that convicts us of its truth and supports us in its application as we go from this place. Father, we do pray for health and for healing. We pray for advances that will halt the advance of this virus, but we have confidence in Your goodness. We have confidence in Your word and in Your sovereignty and Your perfect goodness. We know that Your word says that these things abide, even though the world is passing away. We love You, and we know that You love us. It's in Your precious Son's name we pray. Amen.